Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The FBI raided his home in the middle of the night and frog marched him and his girlfriend in front of his home. His crime? Running a website dedicated to researching Area 51. That's it. I'm done. They're going to put me in jail. What is the federal government hiding? I'll talk to that journalist today and get the answers. Stay tuned. Be sure to visit my website, www.sarahacarter.com. That is sarahacarter.com, for my latest reporting and stories. And folks, while you are there, be sure to subscribe to my email list so that we can stay in touch. Today, I'll be joined by researcher Jorg Arnu, owner and webmaster of dreamlandresort.com. I'm sure some of you remember late last year, the FBI raided his home. They caused $5,000 worth of damage and confiscated $20,000 worth of his property. You will not believe this story, and I can't wait to share this interview with you. How far has our national law enforcement, federal law enforcement, gone in the last 10 years? I mean, literally invading our privacy. And by the way, breaking what I believe is our Fourth Amendment right. Right? Our Fourth Amendment, First Amendment, we're going to talk all of this and more with Jorg Arnu. I'll also cover the dramatic spike in the apprehensions of Chinese nationals at the open southern border. I talked about that on Sean Hannity on the latest show last week and what it means for our national security. Both Brandon Judd and I spoke on that extensively Friday night with Pete Hegseth. And I will respond to your comments from YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and all of my social media channels. I'm so excited about that. We love your feedback, and I love the opportunity to hear from you. Hey, everyone, please follow and subscribe. I'd like you to get all the links at sarahacarter.com. That is sarahacarter.com. And while you are there, sign up for our email list so that you don't get shadow banned. I might be taken to the FBI, but you won't get shadow banned. Folks, I love AMAC. I tell you about AMAC all the time. It is the Association of Mature American Citizens. And why do I love this organization so much? Because these are the folks that will go up to Washington, D.C. and fight for you while you're at work, while you're taking care of your kids, while you're looking after your grandkids, while you're in your kitchen cooking, whatever it is that you're doing. You know that AMAC is up in Washington, D.C., battling the swamp for you. By joining AMAC, you will be taking the first steps to saving the America that you love. AMAC offers an alternative to just about every other benefit that that other group offers. But guess what? It's without a liberal agenda. I stand with AMAC, and I hope that you do too. I encourage you to join today at amac.us/Carter. That's amac.us/Carter. The benefits of membership are great, but guess what? The cause is even greater. Join today at amac.us/Carter. So for those of you who did not see Brandon Judd, who's the president of the Border Patrol Council, and I've had him on the podcast before, and I on Sean Hannity's show last week discussing this issue, I think it's so important. And it opens up a whole new slew of questions, right? We have seen the number of Chinese migrants caught at the southern border skyrocket over 700%. We've also seen those numbers increase dramatically with other nationalities. I think China is so imperative because what we're seeing, you got to imagine the journey that it takes to get from China to reach our southern border, right? And we have seen numbers from China before. I mean, 20 years ago when I was going to the border, I remember being in Tijuana and sitting, you know, in this area called Smuggler's Gulch. And it was my first big series of stories that I wrote about the border, this wide open border. There was a problem then as well, not even near the problem that we're having today. But I remember being in Smuggler's Gulch on the Mexico side of the border. And I was talking to some Hondurans, some people who had actually been arrested in the United States, returned back home, who were making their way back through. And the weird thing about it was it's always the same, right? You just don't know who you're going to run into. It's very dangerous. The people that you're dealing with, you never know what could happen. So I basically there earlier in the day, I have my cameraman who was with me. Then my good friend, Elsie Green, who has since passed away, an amazing journalist, somebody who had worked with PBS and actually worked with Lou Dobbs way back in the day in Seattle when they were younger. But I remember sitting out there with Elsie Green and with my photographer, Matt, at the time. And we were sitting in the border in this gulch area talking to these guys from Honduras. They would have these like plastic bags hanging from trees with water in it. And they would squeeze the bag and like water would pour into a little cup. And they were like literally living there trying to outrun the border patrol, you know, on their way through. They would use these tunnels, these like kind of water main pipes. And we actually crawled through some of them to try to escape into the Tijuana estuary and make their way into San Diego. But I remember a story they told me, and they would say, you know, the Chinese were here the night before. They would say, you know, and they were hiding under these bushes. They had young women and men, and they would come. But back then, it was kind of an anomaly. You know, you would hear about people coming from very faraway lands. And of course, they would be caught. Sometimes they wouldn't. At that particular instance, those folks that we talked to from Honduras said that they made their way in. But now we're seeing this skyrocketing increase, 700%. 700. Some people are reporting 800%. And that was on Fox News. They were talking about an 800% increase. But right now, Customs and Border Patrol apprehended, listen to this, over 1,862 Chinese nationals trying to cross into the United States over the last 3 months. I mean, if you're looking at last year's number, it was just 229 migrants in the same time last year, 2021, that fiscal year. So we're seeing an exorbitant increase in people coming across the border. We're seeing them come even from Afghanistan, from other parts of Africa, willing to pay. Now, in some of the stories, I think Fox News had 35,000. I'm guessing it's far more than that. I'm guessing the 35,000. And the reason I'm saying this is for only a section of that journey, because a lot of times what they have to pay beforehand just to make their way to Central America or Colombia or Brazil, wherever they're coming through, and then they've got to make their way through Central America, or if they're getting into Mexico directly, there's a variety of costs involved in that. And a lot of times what happens is you end up with groups of people coming here and literally working slave labor to pay off those exorbitant prices. So some people are reporting $35,000 per person. I have talked to migrants who have crossed from Bangladesh and other parts of the world. Their price is around $65,000, sometimes over $100,000. I've heard of people coming from the Middle East and other parts, those definitely over $100,000 if they're from countries of special interest, which means that they may be very well connected to terrorism. So the human smuggling operations, they're not idiots. They're going to charge based on what they think they can get and the risk that is involved in that. That is what they're going to do. In this story from the New York Post, it says the amount of illegal Chinese migrants encountered by the border has been steadily increasing. Yes, that is true. New York Post, absolutely right. And that the DHS is keeping an eye out for potential spies, a source told Fox News, especially after the State Department shut down a Chinese balloon believed to be surveilling the U.S. Let me tell you how nefarious and how good the Chinese and other nations are at spying, right? So when we think of spies, we're thinking James Bond. You're thinking like people going to, you know, these exotic parties at embassies, and they're walking around drinking their champagne and looking great and, you know, trying to chit chat with, you know, the most elite members of that nation's political party, or, you know, people who are coming to the party, you know, trying to meet up. No, that happens, but that's not even close to what the spy networks are capable of. There was a Russian who actually, a former Russian spy who actually immigrated to the United States. And when he flipped and became one of us, basically became an American citizen and decided to work for the U.S., not for the Russians. He was actually a contractor on the TV show, The Americans. And I remember talking to him one time. And when he had come to the United States, how the Soviets, well, and I would just say the Soviets, because it was back then during the Soviet time, when the Soviets had him come here, he came here and he was quite young, but very well trained. But guess what he did for a living? He was literally riding his bicycle. He was a delivery boy in New York City. So he was able to get, you know, in and access to all these buildings by delivering food, by delivering mail on his bicycle in New York City. And he did that for years, for years. So we would have no idea, even if DHS is trying to keep an eye out for potential spies, how are they going to know it's a potential spy? If these folks are really good at what they do and they're coming from an adversarial nation, right? It's not like, you know, if we're lucky, okay, maybe they left a fingerprint somewhere in a building and we have it and we know who they are, but more than likely, we're not going to know who they are, right? And even when it comes to China, you think about this, think about all of the intellectual property rights or, you know, the fact that a lot of the spying is not necessarily government always, but what about students on college campuses? In universities, maybe where we're studying bioengineering, genetic engineering, our space programs. You know, there is so much out there, so much out there. And we have made ourselves completely vulnerable to this. And then let's talk about the human rights violations, right? Let me give you one more story, one more quick story. There was somebody that I knew, it was a while back, but somebody who worked in the U.S. government. And actually, this was a DHS-related issue. And there was a group of people visiting from, I believe it was Hong Kong to the United States. And by the way, back then, even DHS was dumb. They basically were giving them a tour of how we do everything here. You know, like, this is our system. This is the Border Patrol checkpoints. This is what we do, you know, kind of sharing information with one another, friendly to friendly, right? At the time, maybe it was Taiwan. I feel bad now. I'm going to give you guys confusion between Taiwan or Hong Kong. Anyways, this is just an example. The person that I knew was with the group and spoke perfect Chinese Mandarin, although they were American, but they grew up a little bit in China and they were very well-versed in the language. And all of a sudden, that person, when they were brought in on those tours, because this group was going to go to DHS headquarters, all of a sudden realized, holy cow, they don't have the right accent. That's Mandarin Chinese. That's like from the mainland. That's like Beijing accent that they were using and language. Now I don't speak it, so I have no idea, but this is what they said. And I believe that because I do speak Spanish and I can hear the different accents in different Spanish language. Well, the United States government had already given them the tour, like the full Monty. They just hadn't brought them all the way into DHS yet. So what happened was when they got to the building, apparently the U.S. had figured this out through this person I knew, and they started to fingerprint all the folks that were coming in, and they were like, whoa, wait a minute, why are we being fingerprinted? And they basically kind of let the cat out of the bag, like, we know who you are. But by that time, it's already late. So this is just to give you an idea of how dangerous the situation is. You know, we're always looking at the surface issue, right? We're always looking at the surface. But think about what's happening now, folks. And I have been talking about China for a long time on this show. And I have been talking about this on our Dark Wars podcast and about the dangers that we are putting ourselves in because we are not taking care of our national security and our sovereignty. We've seen what's happened with TikTok. We know that the Chinese have access through ByteDance into TikTok far more than we would ever or our government would ever like to admit. Because it's a little too late, even when they've canceled out TikTok for government workers, it's already like, whoa, they've been there forever. And now you're going to say you can't have it on your phone. Okay. And all of our children are using it. We've got these spy balloons in our sky, one that traversed our entire nation 8 days until, you know, Biden finally shot it over the ocean. Now we've got three unidentified objects that have been shot out of our sky since then, and one that was identified. People I've spoken with believe those are all related to China, but we don't know yet. We have a trade issue with China. Oh my goodness, a national security crisis of the millionth fold. And we saw that under COVID, right? Where our PPE equipment, guess what? It's all in China. So our protective equipment, we have to get it from the Chinese, even though COVID came from China, even though it was Chinese Wuhan laboratory that released that to the world, the Chinese government. They didn't even stop it. They sealed off their internal borders and then let everybody fly to Italy, fly everywhere, coming out of Wuhan, a global disaster of the biggest magnitude, everything. And now we know that the Chinese are also developing genetic and biological warfare, able at targeting literally ethnicities. We know the Russians are working on those too. And we see what is happening in our nation. And we see the fact that the Chinese have, let's say it again, I'm going to say it real quickly, but they have placed Huawei technologies in our cell phone towers in Montana, around 150 of our nuclear ICBM silos, our intercontinental ballistic missile systems, our silos, 150 of them there. And the Chinese were able to put Huawei technology into those towers. They have purchased over 200,000 acres of prime agricultural land. That's all that I know of. I'm sure it's much higher than that. That was up to 2020. Across the United States, they have 300 acres near an Air Force base in North Dakota. They've got 100 plus acres, 132 acres right here in Del Rio in the Rio Grande Valley area on the border of Mexico, right near Laughlin Air Base. We have to be very aware of what is going on. And I almost feel as if the Chinese government is, and this is, okay, I talked to someone today. It is a Central American intelligence official, and I've talked to folks about this because the Chinese are all over Central America right now, putting up platforms, building roads. It's as if, as in the words of my friend, they are prepping the battlefield. And what are we doing? We're just sitting back and we are watching this happen. And God help us, because the adversaries that we have do not think like us. And we have to stop thinking that way. If we believe someone is prepping the battlefield, we better make sure that they are not going to be successful at it. You know, God help us all. Folks, Allegiance Gold. You got to get gold in times like this where you can't even trust your banks. You can't even trust what's happening in the world. You don't even know who to trust in your own government. You're going to put all your money in a bank. We saw what happened in Canada. We've seen what's happened in the United States, you know, where this woke narrative has made it almost impossible, or the political climate has made it almost impossible for people to put their money in a bank without the bank being nosy enough to try to push that person out. It happened with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. It's happened with other people, especially with the trucker convoy in Canada. We do not want that to happen to you. So right now you can get $5,000 of free silver on a qualifying purchase when you tell them that Sarah sent you. My friends at Allegiance Gold can help you protect your IRA, your 401k with physical gold and silver, or have it delivered securely right to your door. They will educate you on the benefits of physical gold because they care and want to build that long-term relationship with you. Get $5,000 of free silver on a qualifying purchase when you tell them that Sarah sent you. So don't wait. Call or click today. 877-702-7272. That's 877-702-SARAH, S-A-R-A, or go to protectwithsarah.com. We can't control the Biden administration, folks, but we can prepare. 877-702-7272. That's 877-702-SARAH, S-A-R-A, protectwithsarah.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm very grateful to have Jörg Arnau on the Sarah Carter Show. He is a journalist, owner, and Area 51 webmaster of DreamlandResort.com. That is DreamlandResort.com. And the egregious violations that happened to him because of what the FBI did, because of his blog site, we believe, right, Jörg, is the reason why he is on the show today. And we're going to go into detail about that. Jörg, first, thank you so much for being a part of the Sarah Carter Show.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show, Sarah.
No, I'm very grateful. You have had a long fascination. And since 1989, I read you've been monitoring Area 51. And just for everyone out there, I've been there myself on the outside of it. I did not pass the line where it says I cannot go past this point, but it's a U.S. Air Force military installation. It's located in Groom Lake in Southern Nevada. It is administered actually by Edwards Air Force Base in Southern California. The installation has been actually the focus of all kinds of conspiracy theories. And this is the area where most, I guess, curiosity seekers, journalists, even foreign governments, intel. I mean, it's all the mystery behind Area 51. This is where we develop supposedly our most classified aircraft vehicles and maybe other things. And it's where Janus flights, people don't talk about that as much, but where they call Janus flights come in and out. Contractors that are brought in to work at Area 51 are supposedly segregated into separate groups. And they don't know what each other is doing because it is so highly classified. Am I correct on my description of Area 51 somewhat?
Yes, that is very accurate. Area 51 itself is located in a valley. So it's a restricted area inside another restricted area. So it's really almost impossible for the public to even look into Area 51. And for the workers at Area 51, their work is very much compartmentalized. It's all done for national security, and there is, to some degree, a good reason for that. Of course, we don't want our enemies to get wind of our latest developments that we might be able to use in a conflict. So in order to keep this secret, they have to also keep it secret from the American public. We understand that, and there's no problem there.
Right. And there's no problem there. And I've been through your website, dreamlandresort.com, and it is very much just, it's not about little green men, or it's not about, you know, secrets or U.S. classified documentation. It is about Area 51 and the interest about Area 51. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I already in my monologue, as we opened up this podcast, I was telling everyone about, you know, the fact that the FBI, and I think so many people know now since you've been on Tucker Carlson and other shows, but that you were raided in November of last year. But before we get there, I want you to give people a background on what drew you to Area 51, the interest of that. You've been monitoring Area 51, I believe, since 1999, if I'm correct, from the website. So what kind of drew you to that, and why Area 51?
Yeah, even before I came out here for the first time in late 1998, I've always had an interest in military aviation, in fighter jets. I mean, I have memories of me as a little kid standing at the fence of an airport in Hanover, Germany, where I'm from, and watching the fighter jets doing their performance. I've always been interested in that. And then when I got wind of the fact that there is actually an Area 51, it's not just a myth, it's a physical base that you can visit the perimeter, I had to see it for myself. And, you know, the very first time I came out here, I did what every tourist pretty much does. I drove up to the warning signs to the gate. I turned the car around. I took some pictures and then got the heck out of there. So, you know, it was all very spooky and I really didn't know what to expect. But then, you know, subsequently, I really became interested in digging a little deeper. And I spent some time in the desert around Area 51, around the perimeter of Area 51. And the more I really learned about the base, two things became very clear to me. The first thing was it has nothing to do with little green men. It is very earthly, very terrestrial technology that is being developed there. It's the next generation fighter jets, bombers, radar technology, all kinds of military hardware that is developed in Area 51. The other thing that became clear to me is that there is a very good reason for the security and for the secrecy to keep it from falling into enemy hands. And I think I can say for myself that I have always respected that need for secrecy.
Yes, you have. And you said that on the interview with Tucker, that you were very clear that you respected that need for secrecy, that you, this is more of like a fascination, a blog site. You are a very educated man. You studied engineering, if I'm correct, right?
Correct. I have a master's degree in electrical engineering.
I mean, that's incredible. That's like, I wish I could do that. I mean, I'm sure it's just like, I'm sure it's amazing the things that, so you have a very direct interest in this now, but it's more of a hobby, right? It was more of a hobby for you to kind of, you know, document what's going on around Area 51. And I was a looky loo. I was one of those weird people that I went down there to cover a story in the desert. I'll tell everyone this quick little story. And Jorg, you can tell me how many people like me are out there every year doing the same. I was out there in, let me tell you, early 2000s. I did what they called was this kind of grandfathered in horseback ride across the desert with these cowboys. And I remember telling the photographer that I was with, I said, you know what? We're really close to Area 51. We should try to find, you know, one of the entrances with the signs and, you know, maybe get a picture in front of it. Yeah. I'm thinking like, I'm very much interested in science, you know, in space and aviation as well. Certainly not as much as you, but I did go there and I did see that. And I did the same kind of thing. We got our picture taken. We went running away, scared to death that we did something wrong. But it's just that curiosity. I mean, the U.S. government didn't even admit Area 51 really existed until 2013. I don't think people actually really understand how secretive it was, even though it was right there. You let people know this is where you can go, but you can't go any further or they're going to come get you, correct, on your website.
That's exactly correct. What you did when you visited was a very good thing. You had someone who knew the area guide you. And that's what I'm trying to do with my website. I'm trying to educate people. How far can they go? And, you know, when, okay, this is where you don't want to go any further because it all looks very low key, but you step one foot over the line and everything changes. All of a sudden you are a threat to the base security and they will come down on you full force. So part of my website wants to educate the casual tourists that come out here for a visit. And I have maps on my website and Google Earth drawings, Google Earth plugins that they can download to see exactly where they can go and where the boundary is. Because one thing that a lot of people don't realize, there is no fence around large parts of Area 51. So there's only orange markers in the desert. And if you don't know what those mean, you can very easily cross the boundary without even knowing it. And that's what I'm trying to do with my
website. Well, people have, haven't they? Haven't people done that in the past?
Well, absolutely, yeah. People have crossed the boundary for various reasons, because they didn't know any better. Or there's a case of a tour guide out of Las Vegas who inadvertently crossed the boundary right at Groom Lake Road. I guess he got so wrapped up in talking to his passengers that he blew right through the gates, through the warning signs, and found himself surrounded by security, and they got pulled out of the vehicle and things got sorted out. But yes, people cross the boundary all the time. There's actually one story of a gentleman who drove into the base from the south end of the restricted area. And apparently he made some moves that were perceived as threatening, and he got shot to death. I mean, he got terminated.
I'm just going to jump because that was like the perfect segue into what happened to you. Because you talked about, I'm so glad you were not terminated, but here you are, you're running a blog site. You've been doing this since 1999. Has the FBI ever been to your home in the past, ever made a phone call to you, ever asked you to come in for questioning? Has the U.S. Air Force ever done that as well? Anything prior to what happened in November 3rd, 2022?
This came totally out of the blue. I had absolutely no warning that there was any issue with what I'm doing. I've been doing this for 20 some odd years. And I've repeatedly stated on my website that if I ever publish something that for national security reasons shouldn't be out there, let me know and, you know, tell me who you are, let me know and I'll take it down. No problem. No questions asked. I've put that out there many times and I mean it. So this came totally out of the blue. On that day, I wake up to banging and subsequently shouting in my house. And, you know, as I'm waking up, I'm realizing, okay, in order to get to my house, they had to first break down my fence. So they broke down my gate here in Rachel. I have a 10-acre property here in Rachel. They broke down my gate. They broke down the door to my house. And as I'm getting up, they're already in my house. I'm looking at a riot shield. I'm looking at what seemed to me like at least a dozen people in full riot gear, masks on, helmets on, bulletproof vests, shouting at me, turn around, hands against the wall. And before I knew it, they had me in handcuffs and dragged me out of my home.
This is literally one of the most dangerous situations that a person can confront. I mean, and I imagine if you would have thought somebody was robbing your home, you're waking up out of your sleep. If you had a weapon by you, if you were defending yourself, you had no clue that you were being raided. I mean, the danger level on both sides of this, I mean, you could have lost your life, York.
Yes, I could have. And, you know, I've thought about this many times. The way this came down, it was so overpowering that, frankly, it didn't even occur to me to grab my weapon, which I always have by the bed. But you know, it was when before I left the bedroom, before I even entered the hallway and encountered them, I could hear shouting, "York Arnu, this is the FBI. We have a search warrant." So, and you know, from the whole thing, it didn't leave very, very much doubt in my mind that, boy, this is the FBI, you're in trouble. So next thing, you know, my question was, okay, what are you doing in my house? What is going on? What did I do wrong? What are you holding against me? And they never answered those questions. They only said that they have a search warrant, that there's concern about photos on my website. And then they proceeded to, while they were searching my house, to question me about my website. And they talked about flying around Area 51 and flying my drone. They repeatedly tried to imply that I had flown my drone into Area 51.
Did you? Area. Ever?
I never did. And I, you know, it was like in the interrogation repeatedly came, "Well, but you flew into Area 51, didn't you?" "No, I did not." 5 minutes later, "Well, but you flew into Area 51, didn't you?" So this came up repeatedly again and again. They tried to coax me into making a statement that I did fly in there. I never have. They took my drone. They can look at the logs of the drone. You know, it's a consumer-grade drone that doesn't have a zoom. I would have to get very close to Area 51 to even get any decent photos of the base. And they can look at the logs and they're going to see that I have not even flown anywhere near the boundary.
But this is what's so fascinating to me. You have 15 to 20 FBI agents and U.S. military, right? Air Force personnel.
Yes.
But you never were a part of the United States Air Force, were you?
No. And it gets better.
What authority did they have in your home?
I don't know. That is a good question. And that is a question I'm going to ask. It even gets better than that. Not only was the U.S. Air Force OSI, the Office of Special Investigations, involved in the investigation, in the raid, but they were apparently in the lead. Because when I was finally handed the search warrant and a list of items that they had seized from my home, the list of items was actually signed by a senior airman, a part of the Air Force OSI. So the OSI effectively took custody of the seized material from my place. They have no jurisdiction over me. So this is totally against the law what they did.
So let's go back to that, because you have actually sent letters, and it wasn't just your home, right? I mean, there were two homes.
Correct.
Two of your homes. One were your girlfriend in Las Vegas, correct?
Correct.
So she was dragged out of her house. And we kind of jokingly talked about this, folks, before we actually went on the air. But I was saying, like, I wear my pants now at night because I'm so worried that the FBI is going to drag me out in my underwear, you know, in front of all my neighbors. But that's exactly what they did to your girlfriend.
That is exactly what they did. I mean, imagine that. Imagine you're waking up and she woke up to the same thing that I woke up, a commotion in the house. And as she was, she got out of bed, she went up to the top of the stairs and was confronted by FBI. And they literally dragged her out of the house in her underwear as she came out of bed in full view of the neighbors and made her stand in the street for a moment until she was finally put in one of the vehicles. So, you know, that is, just imagine that. Imagine your neighbors. What are your neighbors going to think after this all went down? I had to go around and talk to our neighbors and say, okay, look, and my girlfriend also, we both had to go around and tell them, look, we are not drug dealers. We are not, you know, we didn't do anything wrong. This was all a big misunderstanding. But imagine what the neighbors might have thought when this, they had about half a dozen vehicles in our streets, half a dozen vehicles in our street. They had our street blocked off. They had the street behind us blocked off in case, I guess, somebody would run and jump the fence. I don't know what they were thinking who we are.
It was like an armada.
Yeah.
It was like an armada. This is what I can't figure out. Look, and I'm not trying to be political here. I'm not going to be political, but I'm going to just, I have to say it. Because we just know that there were top secret classified documents in Biden's garage, President Biden's garage in Delaware, right next to his Corvette. Just sitting there in boxes. Everybody on planet Earth that is a spy that wanted access to the United States government had to have known that, you know, Hunter Biden was smoking crack, sniffing cocaine off of prostitutes' backs, you know, taking money here, taking money there, and that they had to have been watching him too. But the thing is I never saw this kind of raid ever happening ever, you know, except for either political reasons. We saw that with Roger Stone. He was an old man. He told me the same thing. He said, I don't know how this happened. I'm waking up and people are pointing guns at me. They're in my house. And, you know, and then there's a camera crew outside that they had called. And does it scare you to think, like, this is the United States of America? I love Germany, by the way, too. I was in Germany for about 8 months of my life. I loved it there. I you know, I was in Nuremberg and I love the food, the German people, and, you know, but this is the United States of America. You are not supposed to wake up to FBI agents and, you know, Air Force security officers pointing weapons at you without having any knowledge. I mean, you're not a spy, are you?
No, absolutely not. I was treated like one, but I am absolutely not a spy. And just for the record, I am an American citizen. I became a citizen in 2002, so I've been a citizen for over 20 years. And it worries me that the government in this country, in the country that I choose to live in and that I choose to become a part of, that this government treats people that way, innocent people retired senior citizens, unarmed, innocent, drag them out in the street in their underwear. In my case, literally drag me out of my own home. I'm going to spare you some of the details that we encountered, but let me tell you, it was not pleasant.
You don't need to spare me the details because I talk about everything on this show, and that would infuriate me. Did they explain to you? Did they have a judge sign off on a warrant? Do you know what even the cause, other than the maybe some pictures? I mean, I know they took your laptops, tablets, phones, backup drives, your expensive cameras, your gear. Your drone, of course, was seized. Your computers. You lost all your medical, financial, and tax records. You don't have your passwords. That would be the big thing for me. It would be all gone. I would just be like, oh, now I can't get into anything. Thank you. Now I'm just like living, you know, in the 1940s again without my passwords. Also, you have $6,400 in legal fees, $20,000 in seized property, $5,000 in damages. So please, because I know this had to have been traumatic, please tell me what you went through. Because I think that, you know, you're an American citizen. I'm an American citizen. I don't want to see this ever happen to me. I have been reporting about the weaponization of our government for some time now. And it does. It scares me, York, that we are turning into this.
That's exactly what it is, and that's a very good way to put it, the weaponization of our government and of certain government agencies. What happened is that I repeatedly asked for the search warrant. So did my girlfriend in Las Vegas. We were both told, you will get the search warrant when the search is done, when we are done here. I don't think that is legal. I think that is against the law. They should have provided me with a search warrant before they entered my home. When I finally received the search warrant, it is missing 39 pages. The search warrant starts at page 40. So what happened to page 1 through 39? What do they say? So I can see what they took. I can see a description of my home. I can see a description of the items that they were legal to take after the search was done. But I have no information about what the federal judge that signed off on the search warrant was told about me. I can only imagine that that federal judge must have been under the impression that I'm a really bad guy and that I need to be dealt with as quick as possible. Who told that federal judge those lies about me? I don't know, but I will find out, and I'm going to make sure that that will not happen again.
I think that's brilliant. Do you have a lawyer? Do you have a good lawyer?
I have a lawyer. I have a lawyer on retainer in case I get charged, that is familiar with the case. And we are trying to get to the bottom of this. But as it is right now, the FBI is not even responding to our inquiries. Since that happened, I have not been able to get a hold of the FBI. I don't know if, when, or in what shape I'm going to get my stuff back. The only time the FBI has actually responded to me when I filed a request to be reimbursed for the damages that they caused, they were very quick to deny that request. That was the only response from a legal department at the FBI. But as far as the investigation goes, I have not heard from them at all. And my attorney hasn't been able to contact anyone. And the case file is sealed, so we can't look at the charges that they are holding against me. What it comes down to for me is it is a fishing expedition. Basically, grab as much of my stuff as they can and see what they can find on it to maybe charge me with. Well, guess what? They're not going to find anything on it because there's nothing on it that incriminates me in any way. The other reason I think...
Do you think maybe you could have accidentally stumbled on something that maybe not even be related in the same way that you think? Like maybe you have no idea what it is and you got something that may have been incriminating on them or something that could have exposed something?
I can't...
I have no idea.
Yeah, I can't rule that out. I'm very particular when I post stuff on my website. If I really don't know the implications of what it means, I usually don't post it. There's a lot of stuff that I don't post.
That's what's so fascinating to me about this, is because it's like they, it's like there's no procedure to this. It's like we could just raid your home on supposition and 39 pages of a search warrant. You don't have access to, you're getting this last page, and you're the one that's actually being charged or invested. I mean, it's like they're just coming into our house and they're seizing everything and saying, sorry, we're not going to pay you back for that. And we're not even going to explain to you what you did. But yet it's your neighbors and all your friends, your family. Now they've left a cloud over your house, right? And you're like having to explain yourself.
Yeah, I'm you know, to some degree embarrassed about what's happened, because I look like a drug dealer or some kind of hardened criminal to my neighbors. Fortunately, we have a good relationship with our neighbors, and you know, I was able to explain, right. And they were like, okay, well, yeah, no big deal. Some of them were inconvenienced. They weren't able to go to work because our street was blocked off. But
wow.
You know, also I think what this was also trying to do, and they probably succeed in some way, they're trying to discourage other people like me that run websites about Area 51 from pursuing this hobby. And it is a hobby of ours. So they're trying to get people to back off and, you know, to make people think twice about coming out here and taking photos and publishing photos, publishing information.
Well, they probably wanted to do that to the administration was probably hoping that would have happened in the United States when an aerial balloon from the Chinese, a spy balloon, was flying over the United States and went 8 days, and they even lowered it. I think it was purposeful. I think it was intentional by the Chinese. They wanted all of us to see that they are sending their vehicles or type of spy vehicles across our nation. They wanted to know that they were in charge. But the United States government is going after you and let the spy balloon fly across the whole country and then finally shot it over the Atlantic. Is that shocking to you?
That is very shocking to me. And they go after the little guy that published some photos of Area 51. Meanwhile, the Chinese are giving us a finger, basically, flying up there with their balloons and doing whatever. And we can't even do anything about it. Now it comes out, yeah, that wasn't the first time they did that. They've done it several times before and they're doing it again. So,
right.
Yeah, how does that make me feel? It makes me feel really bad. I mean, they got the low guy on the totem pole and came down really hard on me because they know that I don't have the financial means to defend myself, to go down, to go after them, to find out who is responsible. In my opinion, there is somebody high up in the U.S. Air Force who is responsible for this. And within my means, I'm going to try to expose that person. I'm going to make sure that they can't do that to anyone who is innocent ever again.
I agree with you. And I think that's very telling, Jörg. Before I let you go, I want to talk about, you have a GoFundMe. People are raising money for you. I saw that, you're trying to get at least $30,000 to cover legal fees and to cover some of the loss and damage. I've seen the pictures of your home. I'm going to have that up on my website so that everyone else can see that there. Your doors are broken. I mean, they busted into your house. The trauma that you must have experienced when they came in. Is law enforcement necessary? Are there good people? Yes, there are. But I think we've seen over the last, especially 10 years, and we've seen it in the past before too, that egregious mistakes have been made, that the system has been weaponized. And I'm very, very interested in the issue of the U.S. military jurisdiction over your own home. And as a U.S. citizen, being able to raid your home. I think those legal questions, I think somebody should go pro bono for you and should take this all the way as far as they can take it against the FBI and the U.S. military. I think there should be a full-fledged investigation, and there should be an attorney that's working to so that this doesn't happen to anyone ever again.
Yeah, I'm actually like I said, I have retained an attorney to defend myself against the potential allegations. There's also, I'm pursuing several other avenues. I have reached out to a number of people in Congress. We hope to get in touch with a new committee that is specifically dealing with government overreach and overreach right. from the FBI. I'm trying to get in touch with that committee. I have reached out and I'm waiting for them to get back to me. I have also an attorney who has who may be able to help me on a pro bono basis to unravel this. Beyond, I have only the financial means to defend myself. I don't have the financial means. I mean, going after, the government per se, it would cost me tens, probably hundreds of thousands, and I just don't have that kind of money laying around. So,
right, who does?
I'm hoping to find an attorney who might be able to take this on pro bono. If any attorney happens to see this and would like to help me out, I would certainly appreciate contact. They can contact right. me through my dreamlandresort.com website. And there's also, thank you for mentioning the GoFundMe page. There's also a link to the GoFundMe account on my website, dreamlandresort.com. Right now, I have about $32,000 in losses, everything combined. And my attorney is telling me that if I get charged and I have to use any attorney's services for criminal defense, I'm looking at another $45,000 to $50,000 at least. I don't have that kind of money. So, I depend on, as much as I hate to ask, but I depend on people to help me out. And I certainly appreciate any help that people can give me.
Absolutely. And this is a fight for all of our rights. I mean, this is seriously unbelievable and incredible story to me. And I think every American should be concerned. If anything, I think the FBI and our U.S. military and NORAD should be very concerned about what the Chinese are doing. And in fact, it appears that they may be prepping a battlefield while everybody's pointing the finger at Jörg Arnau for having a blog site that is more of a hobby. If you're guilty of perimeter of being on the outside of Area 51 and talking about it, I think every person that's ever traveled to that area is guilty of the same thing. We might not all have blog sites, but we all definitely cruised around the perimeter and took pictures. And, it became, it's kind of like a cult thing for Americans. It's like, can you get to Area 51? It's like amazing, So I want to thank you, first of all, Jörg, for being on the show. Once again, everybody, that is Dreamland Resort. If you dare to go to the website, www.dreamlandresort.com, dreamlandresort.com. And remember that Jörg has a GoFundMe page that you can access through there if you want to help him fight back and get, I mean, look, he is willing to stand up and fight for his rights. He is somebody that has been very open about what is going on. He's not trying to hide anything. He was on television talking about this, has done interviews with Gizmodo and others and with me. This is somebody who is an American fighting for his rights and fighting for all of our rights. Thank you so much, Jörg, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Sarah. Pleasure.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let me tell you, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on waking up with a smile on my face, ready to face the day. Go to ZBiotics.com/radio, R-A-D-I-O, to get 15% off your first order when you use radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/RADIO radio and use the code radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times. What a fascinating interview, right? How incredible and how terrifying that we live in the United States of America, which I'm sorry, but is seemingly more like a banana republic. I don't even want to say that. My father fought for this country, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, my husband, my brother. You know, I've done my part going over to the war zone, reporting on the soldiers, but that really terrifies me. We as Americans cannot accept that. That is unacceptable for me. You know, I'm definitely going to be bringing Mr. Arnoux back on the show. Folks, let's talk about a company that does care about America and American-made products and American people. And you know what that is? That's MyPillow. That's MyPillow and my good friend, Mike Lindell. Yes, Mike Lindell. Right now, you can buy one, get one free on MyPillow 2.0. Let me tell you about MyPillow 2.0. It's a brand new temperature regulating technology that will keep you comfortable throughout the night. I'm not joking. It's great. I got one here. Mike sent it to me so I could test it out. You feel cool all night on your face. No sweat, no drool. Yeah. No, I can't promise you if you drool. If you drool, it might get on your pillow. But it's like you're not sweating. You don't got the sweat marks, right? So this is a great, great new technology. It's a knife edge seam, no gusset. I don't know what that means, but I'm reading it. It's great stuff. Available in 4 loft levels, machine washable and dryable. That I do understand. And that is a number one seller for me, especially having a family. And right now, for a limited time, when you buy MyPillow 2.0, you will get another one free with the code Carter. That's C-A-R-T-E-R. Go to MyPillow.com for MyPillow 2.0. Buy one, get one pricing plus discounts on your favorite MyPillow products like towels, sheets, slippers, and more by using code Carter. Stay cool and sleep better with the MyPillow 2.0. Buy one, get one free sale going on now at MyPillow.com. Promo code Carter. MyPillow.com. Promo code Carter. I am so excited. This is where I respond to your comments. I love reading all of your comments, whatever you send me, whether that's on YouTube, whether that's Twitter, Truth, or, you know, Instagram, any of the social media. I love reading it because I feel like I do know you, you know, and it's weird. I go to the airports and people come up to me and they're so kind and it just feels so warm and welcoming. That's the America that I love, right? And even if you have something negative to say, I want to hear it because maybe, you know, there's a guest that I brought on or maybe something I said that you didn't feel comfortable with. I want to hear that too. Okay. I'm okay listening to that. I can take it. I can take criticism. This one is from Vera Reynolds, 1041 on YouTube. Trump would have never left Americans in Afghanistan. All that military equipment wouldn't have been left either. Vera, you are 100% right. President Trump would have never done that. It was shocking, not only to me, my husband who served and almost died there, lost his eyesight there, our friends who returned wounded or who spent the last 20 years fighting those terrorist regimes only to watch it be turned over back again, like right into the hands of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and ISIS, knowing that just a few years before, my husband and I watched my husband just about fall into a chair down at Fort Belvoir. We were at Fort Belvoir at the commissary when he got the call that his friend Brian had been killed in Afghanistan. And Brian left an 18-month-old daughter. and my husband's never seen his daughter's face. Only to turn around and have the Biden administration hand all that equipment, everything over to the very people they said were the enemies all those years. And not only that, by the way, Bagram Air Base, which was our main air base, is now in the hands of our greatest adversary, China. You're absolutely right, Vera. President Trump would have never done that. Never, never, not in a million years. I'm on board with you. This is from at Dave Smith, 3892 on YouTube. Our borders are wide open. China is spying on us for future attacks, and the news media doesn't seem to care. It's like they don't realize their families live here. Dave, I can't agree with you more. We, the American people, are not dumb. We are not dumb. We know exactly what is happening, and we can see it. And our media acts like if they don't say it, like somehow we're not going to, what? We're not going to believe it? We're not going to hold them accountable when, excuse my French, the shit hits the fan? Just like I said in earlier in this podcast, and like I've said in many podcasts before, I've had Gordon Chang on here, expert, beyond expert on China. Bill Gertz, same. Expert, written numerous books on China and the Chinese Communist Party and the danger that they pose. Daniel Hoffman, former chief of station with the CIA, talked about this as well. I mean, I could go on and on and on, the people that I've had on this show. And we do not take what is happening right before our very eyes seriously. The dangers that, I mean, literally our nation is on the edge right now. I absolutely believe that. I worry every single day. I was talking to my husband about this. I'm saying, what is going on here? Why is our government being so lackadaisical about what appears to be our adversary prepping the battlefield for something that is not going to be good for us? And how can they be so silent and expect us to ignore what is really happening in our world? We will not ignore this. I know that, David. I know that you and I and everybody else, we will be ready, because we're already seeing what is going on. And that really, really terrifies me. And we've got to make our lawmakers hold those banana republic heads in Washington, D.C. accountable for what they are doing to our beautiful and great nation. This is from Ramon de Clermont on Facebook. The DOJ and FBI now look more like Soviet-style institutions. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I want to read you something really quick, because a lot of people ask this question. We joke around about it a lot, but can the FBI just raid your house for whatever they want? Like they suspect that something's going on. They suspect that I've, you know, been doing something. No, they cannot, unless they have a warrant, but apparently they are. But apparently they are. And there's no real oversight, right? The FBI is part of the DOJ, but when you have a corrupt Department of Justice, and when the Department of Justice isn't holding the FBI accountable, and they're working hand in hand in consortium together, then what do we do? How do we handle this? So we have a federal law enforcement agency that we have entrusted. They are armed agents of the federal government. Armed agents. This isn't like they're just showing up and they're a lawyer. They are armed agents of the federal government. They raided Yarg's home. Mr. Arnoux was literally like perp walked out of his house, right? In front of everyone. Who cares? You're in your underwear. They're raiding his house. Guess what? They have not explained why they were in his home. He's never been in the military. Why was the military in his house? Why was the Air Force in his home? The FBI has the right to investigate federal crimes. Yes, it does. Terrorism, white collar crime, cyber crime, public corruption, organized crime, weapons of mass destruction, you know, civil rights violations, yada, yada. They do not have the right to just walk in your house fully armed and take you down without a warrant. It's just unacceptable. That is old Soviet style actions. That's exactly what it is. And it's unacceptable in the United States of America. This is from Kenyon Gray 2615 on YouTube. Sarah, that was a great interview with Mr. Smith. Yes, Brent Smith is great. I loved him and having him on the show and bringing him back. He is the attorney for Kinney County here in Texas. As you well know, living in Texas, Governor Abbott can at times be soft on the border. Other times he talks tough. What do you do? In my state, we now have an open border loving Katie Hobbs running the state. Marvelous. No book writing here. So God bless you and your family. May he keep you safe in your travels. Thank you so much, Kenyon Gray, for that wonderful prayer. May God bless you and your family as well. And you know what? I know Governor Abbott, sometimes people think he's too soft. I've seen him actually be very tough on the border as much as he can be for the state of Texas. I know some people believe that he could be doing more, and I think he is working his way in that direction. This is a very dangerous time for all of us. Our border is wide open. We have a lot of issues, both as citizens of the United States of America, as well as, you know, citizens of the great state of Texas. And yeah, we could have Katie Hobbs, for crying out loud. Open border advocate Katie Hobbs. Now running the great state of Arizona, right? You guys, we have a lot to work on. This is seriously, every single one of us, each of us, has to take it upon ourselves to fight for this great nation and to fight for the future and to fight for our families and to stand up against it when it is not right, like what Mr. Arnew is doing, and holding our government accountable when they are failing to do their job. Kenyon Gray, I agree with you. I wish we had better news. I hope that in 2024, there is a new president in that White House and one that will actually put the American people first and put America first, if you get my drift. Follow me on Truth at Sarah Carter Official, Twitter at Sarah Carter DC, and on Instagram at S Carter DC. God bless you. God bless our great nation. And God bless the great state of Texas.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.